Welcome to Story Break, a Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood pros have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into a cinematic masterpiece. Will we succeed? Will we fall flat on our faces? And will we ever get paid for these ideas? Hopefully, eventually. But until then, I'm going to be making my living as the greatest desktop picture photographer of all time. I'm your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will. I'm also on this podcast, and I am a screenwriter.
This was not as good as last time. I am Matthew Arnold, and I am friend first and writer-director second.
I think you're a friend, husband, and a lover first, and then all those other things second.
All right.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm a Nintendo fan first, a Christian second, an American third, loving husband fourth.
A Kirby fan fifth,
and then a writer-director.
So this week we have laid before us, Matt actually came in here before we recorded and very carefully set up this game in front of us.
Well, we need some inspiration.
What is this?
Yeah, I thought we would do, I just saw this really quickly last night because I saw they were doing a novelization of this game. I was like, you know what, Galaxy Trucker, and Will likes those two words, as he said, those are two of his favorite words.
So today on Storyboard, Galaxy Trucker, a board game by?
Vlada Shvatil?
I want Matt to try and pronounce his name.
I know. You were.
Please tweet Matt the appropriate pronunciation of this revered game designer.
Yeah, he's an incredible game designer.
Pronunciation.
So you may know him, for you, those of you who are a little more on the filthy casual side of the board game world, as the guy who created Codenames, which is to this day, I think, the best party, like casual board game ever made.
Huge hit, gone to Target. It's like the new apples to apples, essentially. Really big. But before that, he's known as kind of like a more hardcore, heavy game designer. Mage Knight is like a huge game of his, which is one of those Freddy's favorite solo board games. Very good for solo play.
Just so people know, there's a board game out in our common space that's a solo board game that Matt is jealously guarding, that he just walks by, plays a couple rounds, and then keeps going. No one can touch it. No one even knows what
he's
doing.
It's like he's in one of those like play-by-post chess games that people have over the course of years, except with himself.
It's like, but also this is like a crazy game because he's like throwing dice and moving diamonds around this board. It's just like weird. Like fortune telling witchcraft that Matt's conducting.
So, Dungeon Pets, Pictomania, a bunch of games. He's done a bunch of stuff.
I love Pictomania.
Really good, yeah, really good designer. And one of his classics is Galaxy Trucker, which is all the way from 2007. And I think it was nominated for the Spiels des Jahres, but didn't actually win. Anyways, great game. It is now on iOS and Android too, so you can actually try it out and play by yourself if you're like me. And I thought it'd be a good one to try.
All right, so here we go.
Your quarterback. Why don't you? I know literally nothing other than that I like the word galaxy and I love the word trucker.
Yes.
So Matt's got the official lore explanation here. So why don't you just run to take us away?
Yeah, I think it's worth actually reading this because I think part of the fun of the game is that it's this charming, goofy aesthetic that it has, which we'll definitely, I think, kind of play into. But yeah,
here's the clock starts now. Go, Matt.
All right. Here's the official. This is the theme of the game. Corporation Incorporated is an interplanetary construction firm that built sewer systems and low-income housing on the less developed planets of the galaxy. For years, Corp Inc. has tottered on the brink of bankruptcy, transporting building materials to the edge of the galaxy, where the need for their services is greatest. It's a risky business. The company was saved by a few visionaries on the board of directors.
Instead of a better name, I would hope.
Instead of shipping materials to periphery, they reasoned, why not build the materials into space and let them ship themselves? Furthermore, why hire pilots if there are nutcases who will do it for free? And that's where you come in. Just sign the contract and you gain unrestricted access to Corp Inc. warehouse. Build your own spaceship from the available prefabricated components and fly it into the periphery. On the way, of course, you may have to eat a loss, but any profits you make along the way are yours to keep. The Corporation Incorporated will pay you a bonus for the quick delivery. It is possible that you end up with insurmountable debt and finish your days panhandling on the streets of Deneb 3. But if Lady Luck should smile upon you, you just might find yourself among the 10 billion richest people in the galaxy. So I think it's worth, that kind of gives you a little flavor, but just to kind of...
Yeah, walk us through the game
The way the game works, I think, will kind of really portray the flavor of this game. So the way the game works is it actually starts with a real-time element, where these are all little components, and they're all flipped over when it starts, and we all have our own ships.
Now, this is an audio experience, so describe these.
So what there is in front of you is there's like these little cardboard chits, little square cardboard pieces that are all like black on one side, and then they have little components on the other.
What do you mean by this?
Well, I'll say in a second. So when the game starts, you have like, I think it's like 90 seconds real time, and everybody just starts grabbing them and flipping them over. And what they are things like laser guns or things to hold cargo or places to hold your little men or life support systems or batteries that are required to power the life support system and whatnot. And it's like a little mini puzzle because you'll see there are like there are these little connective edges. 3, 2, 1 and you're trying to and what you're trying to do is you're trying to grab the best pieces and build a ship. And you have this like ugly looking ship that looks like it was pieced together by a bunch of spare parts.
Right.
And after 90 seconds, hopefully you got a pretty good ship. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to balance out. You need to put your guns in the front because if you put the guns in the back, obviously you're going to be shooting your own ship. You can't have the engines in the front. They have to be in the back. You can't have cargo next to.
Porsche owners would agree to disagree there. But okay.
So there's all these things. And then when you're done, you put your little men, you know, wherever you have little holding spaces for them to sleep in. And then you go on this, then all the trucks go on this interplanetary track, and you go around, and based off of how fast you are, you go faster. But what happens is, you keep pulling cards, and what happens are, like, aliens come, and they shoot at you, or meteors come. And as you're playing, you keep losing pieces of your ship, depending on how well you built it. And you might lose, and if you know, if you lose your cargo, then all of a sudden, your cargo falls off, you hit, a meteorite hits your sleeping station, and your two little men fly out into space. And at the end, you might have this, like, four-piece ship with, like, one piece of spare cargo that hopefully you made just enough money to pay back what you built your ship on. Okay. And you do that three times. But the point is, you're trying to make the best ship that will survive the dangers of space and make just enough money.
Are you spending money on the ship to build it?
Yeah, because there's, well, what happens is there are, like, things that take away money, like people steal your stuff because technically the cargo is, like, from the people. But yes, you could be in debt at the end. You could definitely be negative points.
Okay. So it's a game of commerce. It's a game of building these junky ships and them getting torn apart and trying to turn a profit.
Aliens can board your ship and like steal your guys. Again, meteorites, et cetera, et cetera.
It sounds like it's that venerated genre, the Han Solo simulator.
Yeah,
exactly. Because it's, I can imagine you have like the Millennium Falcon. Like one of the things that was so charming about it in Star Wars is that it's, you know, like the persnickety hyperdrive that's always malfunctioning.
Right.
And then, or again, like even like, it allows you to play Scotty in Star Trek, where you're holding the Enterprise together with spit and duct tape.
Yeah.
And again, I love this notion of this ship that's slapped together from a bunch of crazy parts, and you're gonna, you know, like you're in this race around the galaxy.
Yeah, and I think the race is a nice thing to kind of hang on to for if it's gonna be based on the game.
Yeah, that's right, because there's other people involved.
There's other people, and you definitely get bonuses for being first, and that's part of the kind of strategy of the game is you can build fast engines, which let you move around the track faster, and essentially the benefit of being first is that when like an event happens, the first player usually gets the best choice. Like
they get
to choose the best cargo. But if you have a lot of engines, you probably don't have as much shields and other stuff.
Right.
But like being first is important. So you want to be the fastest at delivering materials to these, like, I don't know. It sounded like they were saying that there's literally like sewer systems and low income housing is what you're trying to build. So it's just this scrappy.
So very blue collar.
By the way, I cannot believe this is the first time I've heard Corporation Incorporated before, which has just been sitting there so obviously, but I love it. And it tells you, in two words, it tells you everything about the tone of this, which is very sort of goofy and silly. And
So you said when I brought this game up, you were like, we should try to do a TV show because we haven't done a TV show in a while.
I feel like I've been relying on the five act structure thing as a crutch lately.
Okay.
Like I want to do, we haven't done a TV show I think since Legend of Zelda. Or actually no, Arms was a TV show.
Arms
we did as a TV show. I would like to do this one as a TV show.
Well, let's hang on to that. It's a TV show. All right. We got hired to make a TV show.
So here's what I like about this. It is, I like this chase element. Trucker culture is just the most fascinating, you know, like there's that raw appeal of the, you know, like the American road and then transported to space, I think is really fun.
I mean, Firefly has some elements of literally Galaxy Trucker.
True. Yeah, oh shit, was this R2-D2 show called Firefly and we should come up with this something? Okay.
or Outlaw Star.
What's Outlaw Star?
As an anime.
Oh, is it a similar premise?
Firefly is cribs quite a bit from it.
Yeah, this is definitely not. I mean, there's a great Cowboy Bebop episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
of Space.
Well,
Truckers.
I mean, this all comes from the very, very good Deep Purple song "Space Truckin'," which I'm sure was an inspiration for this game
for
well.
Everybody, actually, across all cultures around the
space
world.
Space Truckin'. This is the other reason I'm excited about this is because I've always been like, Space Truckin' should just like, why don't we talk about the song "Space Truckin'" more and how cool it is. So walk me through the lore a little bit one more time. So this basically,
Corporation Incorporated is a construction firm that builds just shitty stuff, essentially, in the far reaches of the galaxy.
They're a construction firm.
Yeah. It sounds like, again, it's essentially the equivalent of, like, right, big oil tankers or big cargo tankers going to Africa or, you know, whatever, third world countries or less developed nations and, you know, unloading cargo there. And that's used for the timbers used to build, you know, small houses, sewer systems, you know, basic infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a company that is building out into the far reaches of the galaxy. Is probably high risk, right? Because you could get, just like in boating, you can get hit by pirates.
Boating is the official term for shipping.
You can get hit by pirates, you know, yeah. Weather, you know, in this case, aliens, meteorites, etc. And instead, they've discovered that essentially privatization and independent contractors is the way to go here. And what they've done instead is that these truckers pay the materials or buy the materials for really, really cheap, and they're taking on all the risk. And if they make it to the other side...
No, when you say buying the materials, are they buying the materials for their ships, or are they buying the stuff that they're hauling?
In the game, you, like, pick up cargo on the way, which is weird. You're like, this is
like
just
you're contracted
building.
Some. Well, yeah, like, you're working. No, hold on. You're working for Corporation Incorporated. You're a trucker. You're working for them.
Independent contractor.
Yeah, you like stop by like, you know.
No, they're
planet
buying
Earth.
The goods. You're just like, picking them up.
Yeah, you like
them.
Stop by planet Earth and pick up goods to keep going. So you leave Corporation Incorporated with just a ship, and then you go and you pick up goods and materials on the way, and then you bring them to the far reaches of the solar system.
So they're giving you the ship?
I mean, in the game, you're grabbing pieces for free.
Yeah, but who are you grabbing the pieces from? This is what
I'm trying to say, that's where you come in. Just sign the contract and you gain unrestricted access to
their incorporated warehouse. So it's
build
basically
your own
like
spaceship,
they, like, do your own
from
thing.
The available prefabricated components and fly it to the periphery.
So it's a little bit like if a cab company was just like,
so
you have to
like
pay for
what
your
what I imagine is that Corporation Incorporated had these really cool ships. Right? And they just kept losing them. And they just kept bringing back wreckage. And they're like, this is expensive and stupid. And
let's just let these chumps deal with it.
They just open up the warehouses to, and there's just all these pieces of ships everywhere. They're like, here, you guys get free ship pieces. And then you go and you take all the risk on your own. And then you'll get a split of the profits.
Yeah, that is true because it does.
Okay, I get the business model then. Because essentially it's these cheap, shitty spaceships.
Yeah.
The pilots are not anybody special.
The benefit is you get free ship, essentially.
You get a free ship.
Yeah.
Well, or you're in debt to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're paying. If we wanted to put it this way, I mean, like, it gets the whole I sold my soul to the company story thing, right? They're like, sign the line here, right? And then you get what you're getting is a chance to make something of yourself, right? Because you can go out on these runs and they've given you this crappy ship and you can go make money.
It's like sharecropping. It's like essentially like, here's the land. We kind of own it. But the benefit is that you get this, like, right? You get good crops and you're going to get all that profit.
Yeah.
You know?
And, but and it's a scam because the ship is a piece of shit and they overcharge you. Again, they're like, oh, you're gonna have, before you make a cent of profit, you're gonna have to pay off the ship we just gave you.
Yeah.
So it's this like it's, you know, sort of it would attract these people who are oddballs and desperados and romantics who want to see the galaxy. Okay.
And
sign the contract, build your own spaceship, go haul the cargo, you know, seek fame and fortune on the outer edge of the galaxy.
Yeah. And I think, as always, it's like the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward, right?
How are we doing on time, Fredo?
I think it's about time we get into some characters here.
Okay,
we're about 10 minutes in.
So to me, the most fun part of this in terms of like, oh, actually feeling
the gameplay side.
Is when like the living conditions get knocked off and your little guys fly into space. Because like every time that happens, I feel it. I'm like, oh, and there goes my little men. Like the ship exploded and I lost my crew. Like laser
so
beams and stuff is just rolling dice.
The idea of expendable crew is pretty fun.
Well, yeah, and the point is, like, it's definitely a crew.
My point is, it's not just individual.
Yeah, so it is kind of, again, like Firefly or whatnot, but it is, I feel like
in order to lose them, you need a pretty sizable crew. I like the idea, by the way,
I mean, you could also totally do an episode where one of the crew pods gets knocked off the ship, and then it's a debate about whether they're going to go rescue them.
That's fun.
Or can we drop off our cargo first and then go rescue them,
and then you
have the other two people trapped in this little pod together. That's
it literally becomes Star Wars. They crash land on this desert planet. The two guys get out of the escape pod. They're like, do you think they're going to come get us?
I love the idea that like you introduce these minor characters and you really flesh them out only to get them blasted off into space. It's just like you put in all this effort. It's like the captain's, like even the episode where the captain's just trying to find a new friend, just getting the new best friend, and every single one just keeps blasting off into
space. By the way, you can't really see
it here,
but like that ship on the cover is just a blast.
Oh, yeah, like, we'll get a close-up of that in the video.
That's just a wild aesthetic. It's so pulpy and silly.
All right.
So give me some characters. Is there a captain?
So, oh,
is
yeah, we've got the cap. All right. Again, we're talking, it's Star Trek meets Dukes of Hazzard, basically.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it, I think.
So you got the captain, you've got an engineer.
You will definitely gunner. Have, like, the intergalactic, like, the Highway Patrol equivalent.
Yeah.
Is what it should be. Yeah, chips. I like this, like, Dukes, yeah, I like this Dukes of Hazzard feel. I like this, like, because, again, I don't think this is, like, a super serious drama, right? This is, like, a fun A-team Dukes of Hazzard-esque. I think going with that kind of, like, 80s kind of indulgent... you know, rebel fantasy is like probably where this kind of fits.
Oh, yeah, for
in.
Sure, for sure. And then I'm looking at these cards. Some things that are leaping out at me are pirates, smugglers, slavers, aliens. And then you have like abandoned ship, abandoned space station. Yeah, epidemic. Always down for some
space diseases.
Some space madness.
Nothing like some space microbes to give you space diseases and getting space fever.
Yeah, it's an adventure show. It's, again, it's, you know, Star Trek they pitched as Wagon Train to the Stars. So I guess, like, I get, okay, all right.
I think
so we just have to come up with a whole science fiction show in like, what, 30 minutes?
Well, I think the core, because again, I mean, if we're just talking off the top of the dome, like, it will all depend on who the characters are and like what's kind of like the pilot. You can match plots between Cowboy Bebop and Star Trek and all
right,
literally every card you said is an episode of Cowboy Bebop, like an abandoned space station. They did one that was like an alien, like the abandoned planet, like again the classic going to a planet to trade in smuggler goods and realizing they're medicine, so you help out the people instead of like get the money, right? These are all tropes, and the uniqueness is going to be from the characters at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure,
and I think the flavor that you have is, so kind of with the tools that we have, you're gonna have somebody who's going to put himself into debt.
Yeah, it feels like, and just talk really kind of high level, it does feel like, it feels like the first season arc would push you towards a character being so in debt, right? Because that's putting him in a spot like that by the end of it, he either has to, you know, go against the corporation the first season or whatever that is. It doesn't feel like he ends with a bunch of money, right? Well, it feels like he's always on this sort of, in this sort of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fashion.
They're always slightly broke. Like, what do they do in Dukes of Hazzards? I honestly don't know what is that?
You actually, we've already hit the limit of my Dukes of Hazzard knowledge.
Like, does anyone even know what the story of Dukes
does
of Hazzard
really
is?
Does anyone really know what Dukes of Hazzard is about?
Because I'm just like,
them story break boys are in a whole heap of trouble.
But right, it's like, because I do think this is a very, again, I think there's nothing wrong with episodic story. I think, you know, nowadays, especially, we kind of underestimate the appeal of episodic storytelling. Like, I would almost avoid, in this one, and not to be lazy about it, I honestly would say, like, I almost kind of want to avoid this bigger arc, because, again, it's like,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I want to, we're going to take a little detour into Dukes of Hazzard Town. Dukes of Hazzard follows the adventures of the Duke boys, cousins Bo Duke and Luke Duke, who live on a family farm in fictional Hazzard County, Georgia, with their attractive female cousin, Daisy, and their wise old Uncle Jesse.
What does their female cousin look like? Is she attractive?
The Duke boys race around in their customized 1969 Dodge Charger stock car, dubbed the General Lee, evading crooked and corrupt county commissioner Boss Hogg and his bumbling and corrupt sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane, along with their deputies, always managing to get in the middle of various...
Oh my God.
They're moonshiners.
Can we just turn this right now, and can we just do a freaking reboot of Dukes of Hazzard, and it's straight up that they're just like country boys, and then all of a sudden their General Lee car is getting protested, and they're going to lose their General Lee car.
Ooh, topical. Like that topical humor. Have you seen that picture of the General Grant that someone did, by the way? It's just a blue charger with the American flag on top.
So they're moonshiners.
Bo and Luke had previously been sentenced to probation for illegal transportation of moonshine. Their uncle Jesse made a plea bargain with the U.S. government to refrain from from distilling moonshine in exchange for Bo and Luke's freedom. As a result, they're on probation, not allowed to carry firearms. Instead, they use compound bows.
Kind of a technicality,
sometimes,
by the way.
Arrows tipped with dynamite.
I feel like any judge in any reasonable court would be like, this technicality does not fly.
I'm still kind of trying to find out what they do. Sometimes
it's essentially they're moonshiners, and then owing to their fundamentally good nature, they end up usually helping Boss Hogg, the county commissioner, out of trouble or whatever it is. They're always doing some illegal moonshining thing, and then they end up doing something kind of good.
I was about to say this very clearly, that the show doesn't have too much meat on that episode bone, when the Wikipedia article for the vehicles of the show is longer than most Wikipedia articles of like shows themselves.
There are a lot of vehicles.
They're really into the cars of the show. Anyway, so they always end up in scraps, and they help out the people around them.
Okay. To me, what appeals to truckers again is very cowboy-esque, right? They're cowboys, like, even though they're essentially just transporting things from beginning, I think there's always this kind of, like, mythicism and, like, you know, open sky and, like, you know, a bigger dream out there. Yeah, like, they're doing it for their ranch back home or whatever it is. Like, right, it's kind of the escape into the endless beyond and anything's possible.
Right.
I feel like this person is inherently a dreamer of some sort.
Yes.
They have some dream, right? It's like the classic cowboys around a campfire, like, oh, someday I'm going to own a ranch, like, across all of the, you know, Rocky Mountains or whatever it is. Like, it's whatever. They have some big dream. And he is in, or she is in some
someday
some
I'm going to make me a web series about a bunch of roommates hanging out and talking about pop culture stuff.
So this person is willing to take, you know, risks for some ultimate dream they have. And this is the only way they can think of getting this money. I kind of like that more than, like, they're in some trouble, like they got to, like, get money to save their...
Well, it just seems like a very bad way of doing it.
Well, because you can also, again, you can... The
well, that could be a character. Could be a stowaway on the road, you know, like, or a desperado that's running from the law.
But, right, the
this is the only... The only... Again, it's like the only way they can get out of the galaxy or get out of the solar system is to hitch a ride with this crazy trucker. Like, I could see that being something.
But I was going to get to, like, the main characters, right? Especially if you're doing this kind of repeating... episodic story,
right.
You have something talking about community. Well, yeah, it's ultimately right. They're never going to really progress. Like, they're ultimately stuck in a loop. Like, that's what it's like. Frasier and Friends don't change really. Like, the end episode of Frasier is essentially the same as the pilot. He just kind of learned. Like, he's always gonna keep looking for love, and he's not gonna give up.
Okay, Freddie, how are we doing on time?
We are just at 20 minutes in.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about our main character.
Yes. Yeah,
let's circle in on this a little bit more.
That's what I was doing.
Let's just.
All right. Well, you talk about the main character.
I can do this. It's the son of daughter of a mid-level corporation incorporated CEO who has always wanted to go see the galaxy, but they've never had the chance.
That is definitely the second character.
Like an accountant, accountant.
The sidekick is he picks somebody for pilot or something. Mm-hmm. And little does he know, it is the, you know, rebellious teenage boy or girl of one of the CEOs. Mm-hmm. And so at the beginning, it would get him into hot trouble. And it may, you can hang on to that. Like, the audience knows that, you know, he's essentially kidnapped her. Like, right, there's this, like, there's a quest out there of, like, who stole the CEO's daughter? And yeah, then, you know, he would find out or she would find out. And then, like, they would have that moment. It's like, you're going to stay on my crew, like, sort of thing. But I like I don't think that's the main character. I like the idea of, like, a rebellious, well-off person, rich person. Going off on this adventure, this kind of, like, privileged...
A show, generally speaking, isn't just, like, a context. It's the arrival of something into that context that sparks a new type of conflict, vis-a-vis concordantly, ergo, the architect. You would do, like, in Big Bang Theory, it's these three nerds, and then the girl moves in next door.
Right.
In
right.
Frasier, he has to live with his dad. In Cheers, Diane, this snooty liberal elite, for lack of a better term, winds up working at this blue collar bar. And Friends, Rachel shows up. It's not the whole thing doesn't revolve around that, but it's obviously
but that's
like
that's the new thing, the new spice in this dish.
Yeah, and again, like, looking at Firefly, they essentially establish this lost veteran. He's essentially a cynical person who's lost his way, and this moral question, and these two people essentially push him into.
Now, does the truck already exist? Or, because again, like, all of this stuff, like the hastily assembling the ship, I think is, like, really fun.
Yeah, I feel like there's a status quo of the character, which we need to figure out. Yeah. And I feel like the announcement, like, almost like, you know, almost like Rat Race style, like this Corporation Incorporated is presenting this new opportunity, right? Like, people are seeing this, right? It's essentially like when they said, like, hey, land west, whoever gets there first gets to plant their flag. And then everybody freaking, you know, fled into Oklahoma and whatnot to get land. Like, I feel like this is very much a Gold Rush-esque moment.
Okay, yeah,
and that's
like
how
that.
You are presenting, that's what you're coming into.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd present kind of the characters that are going to be part of the crew or the main characters, and then this announcement that Corporation Incorporated is giving away their ships. Like, anybody can come in, get a ship, and you will become a trucker for us.
Yeah.
And the possibility for wealth is infinite.
What if you do then that we have, because I like this mad dash to get all the parts, right?
Yeah, right.
But then you do this crew comes together because the factory is just picked clean, right? Mm. Some people are lucky enough to get like a bunch of course, a lot of people are hoarding the parts. They're stealing them and just putting them on their ship and they're going to jack up the price or whatever. But could you get this crew of people to come together because like one guy has an engine and another guy has a gun and another person has a cargo container. Like, and you would do like, that's essentially the, how this ad hoc crew gets formed in the first place. Like a couple of
they
people.
They all get there late.
Or again, it's like, you know, like they've got most of the ship, but then like this one guy has the end, has an engine block. And like, that's, you know, so it's like, all right,
that's
I guess we're going to all throw our weird prefab parts in together.
What's going to attract people here is a few. It's going to be people who are wealthy who just want to get wealthier. They're adventure seekers. They're people who maybe were truckers in some form and lost everything. And now here's a free chance to get a new truck. Your main character, I feel like, is definitely somebody who has this selfish ambition to a degree at the beginning. Because I think what you get to is, again, I think he's not exactly an anti-hero, but he's kind of, you know, getting this crew together. I feel like there's that final moment. I feel like
okay, throw something at you?
Yeah.
What if you do a disgraced, like, Starfleet captain? Mm-hmm. Like, imagine, because this is a sort of a tabula rasa as far as like a thing goes, but imagine there's a Galactic Federation, and then you have, like, a Picard. It's like a snooty... Like, basically, like, a member of the Royal Navy, right? Like, this officer who was, like, this, like, strapping, tea-drinking, you know, fussy young gen who, you know, commanded a ship and, you know, was, like, part of the Imperial Navy or whatever. And he's lost his command. He's lost his post. Mm-hmm. And now these are the riffraff he has to work with. Mm-hmm. Like, could you do that as almost a workplace comedy type of thing? Like, you know, like, he used to be a lieutenant or, like, a commander or a captain of, like, a real Navy boat.
Mm-hmm. What's fun there is it's a constant push-pull of one. Wanting to enforce like a certain order to everything, and obviously that not ever working.
And then
out.
Yeah, but his crew is like these like you know scallywags and what have yous. I feel like Frasier than Han Solo. Like every time you see one of these shows, it's got some
cool renegade rogue.
If I could take a gun and kill any one trope, it would be the Han Solo ripoff.
Because
I fucking hate it so much. Every time he's just like, hey man, anything's right for the right price, and they're like Han Solo ripoff. You came back for us. That's right, because I learned the Han Solo lesson, because it's the only fucking movie that every screenwriter's ever seen. I like the idea of like a Ponzi captain. Like, again, like Picard than Kirk, right? Like, the idea that he would even also be running afoul of. Again, if you were to say Corporation Incorporated is like the East India Tea Company or something like that.
So,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
like, he
so
used to be like a colonial, like, you know.
I think this may be your main thing, maybe a duo, kind of like Dukes of Hazzard.
Captain Percival.
Like, well, yes, I love the idea, because again, if you want to paint a broad stroke, the vast majority of these truckers, it's like the other racers in Speed Racer. These are all just wild, horrible ex-criminals, ex-truckers, people who are willing to die for a price, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have this ex, yeah, and again, he has some tragic or whatever, or something stupid, like he slept with the admiral's wife or something, daughter or whatever. But yes, he is this pompous, like hoity-toity, tie-wearing ex, you know, captain who commanded thousands of men underneath him. He's incredible.
I like that he just insists on stuffy formality and everything that they do. Like, tonight, like, one of you shall dine in the captain's quarters. And, like, he's trying to, he's trying to motivate this crew. And they're literally just eating like dog food out of a bowl. But he's like, "Yes, I shall tell you stories of the Great Galactic War." And
so,
like,
I think what the Frasier's dad coming in or whatever it is. I think the turn of the story is
Space
like,
Frasier. That's the show. Yes.
I think
it's a show you've been dreaming about for years.
So, I think the fun is going to be that he is not that. When the episode starts, he's lost everything. He's an alcoholic. He's gone, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't buy that pompous guy is going to look at these shitty trucks and be like, "Yes, this will."
Yeah, he would say that that's beneath
somebody.
Him still.
The other character is going to be the person that pushes them. Mm-hmm. They need a good captain. They need somebody who has commanded fleets. So somebody who is desperate. Somebody who is more scoundrel. And then, of course, the fun balance of that is like they need this guy, but this guy is unbearable, right? If you had this like scrappy. You know, thief who was like, who, you know, wanted to make a buck, and the only person who can help her or whatever is this pompous captain who thinks rules have to be followed. And, like, yeah, we may be on a trucker ship, but everybody goes to bed at 10 p.m. Yeah. It's like, that's a fun dynamic.
And he plays the violin.
Yeah, exactly. And this other character is like, don't you understand? You can regain your glory. Like, I will build our truck, and eventually we'll be, it'll be like running like a ship again. Like, you can be a captain again. And he's like, oh, you know, now that you say this, this sounds pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun dynamic I can see with somebody who's essentially trying to, somebody who is stupidly trying to regain their military glory on this like scrapped together piece of shit. And then we need to figure out who's this other, somebody who's
hustler,
in
hustler.
A hustler, essentially. Yeah. So is it,
what if it's like a cool Han Solo?
Some kind of, I'm trying to, the guys was, on the, names so what, on the tip of my tongue like a
So what
a
I was
Han
trying
Solo.
To, what I was trying to lean to was like to kind of also maybe get some of the theme and some of the world building from the character perspective right away is somebody who lived on the periphery. Somebody who like maybe the lack of trucks coming, like, you know, they didn't get their home or they didn't get the cargo they needed. Like, it's literally somebody from the opposite side of the truck.
Of society.
Of the, yeah, of the space tracks.
Yeah, of the truck tracks. The galaxy trucker tracks.
And real quick, by the way, we are just over 30 minutes.
Okay, cool. good.
Because this guy's wants great because it has little to do with like, again,
Everyone else's wants, too.
Yeah, he would definitely be the one who'd rather do something like spectacular and heroic than actually make money on the cargo, right?
Okay, like, because he wants to regain his status.
Exactly.
Yeah, his dream is to sip tea in the officers' club again.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what he wants, is to sit down and have that spaceberry tea in the, you know,
like, right,
with the
like,
other admiralty and then be that, like, and then for them to see him as this dashing man of the world now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And you would you would have, like, you know, they have the biggest cargo they've ever had. They have 70 red cubes, which are the most cubes, and they're about to make the biggest track.
Because again, just to describe for the audience at home, like the cargo is just red cubes, blue cubes, yellow cubes, and green cubes, and that should just 100% be what the cargo is referred to as.
We're bringing
the
in
entire
red cubes,
time.
Yes,
we're hauling a crate of red. My God, blue cubes.
Oh, that's the coming. Red cubes are
blue cubes, the size of your fist.
Red cubes are like contraband. But anyways, like red. The episodes would be all variations of the theme of we're about to make a shitload of money. Captain Percival, whatever, sees that there's like a wounded hospital ship.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, who cares? Somebody's coming. He's like, oh, but I know that on the hospital. Oh, my God, that's the daughter of Admiral Akbar. Sorry. Admiral Akbar. Like, if I go save that, like, I'll be welcome to the officer's ball again.
I'll be invited to dine on his deck.
Exactly. And she's like, if we...
Oh, that's great. I mean, first of all, an episode where his crew saves a stranded Navy ship, and then they are invited
to a
dinner, and then he's got to
shape
up.
Lady.
Yeah, he's got to shape up. All of a sudden, you will not embarrass me on this trip.
And then, of course, he's the embarrassing one, and she ends up being a huge ball.
Or there's like a mutiny once they get on
board. Oh, that's a good one. There's a mutiny on board and they save the day.
Yeah, it feels a little like Fawlty Towers a little bit for our main.
Almost like
right?
a Basil Fawlty type. Yeah,
Basil Fawlty is good because he should definitely be more flawed. Like you should be pretty clearly be like, you know what? This guy probably would have been kicked out of the military at some point anyways because he's insufferable.
He's always trying to learn this alien language. Like, essentially like German tapes. Like he's got like this space phonograph like playing these incomprehensible. And of course you do some gaffe or like he's trying to like negotiate with this alien captain and says something horribly offensive.
It's like, I thought you'd been practicing this. It's like,
okay, let's give him a name because that'll...
Percival is pretty good.
Percival. Captain Percival.
Okay, Captain Percival. Wait, so
Captain Leslie Percival.
Percival.
Leslie's very good. That's how you spell Percival?
Percival.
Cool. All right. So we got Captain Leslie Percival.
Okay.
Disgrace. Right. Oh, let's pick how he was disgraced really quick, and then we need to figure out the second character.
Because it has to be kind of his fault a little bit, right?
Yeah, it should be 100% his fault.
100% his fault. I like, in terms of this, if this guy's going to be insufferable, if this guy's like a man of manners and just like protocol, and he seems to not think for himself,
mm-hmm.
and clearly he values himself as based off of how other people see him, how the Admiral sees him, how mm-hmm. what the medals he has on his... which again is why he'd be at the lowest point possible right now.
What if you do? Everyone's like, "Ooh, he slept with the admiral's daughter."
Well, okay, they should be something loving.
But then you find out, no, he slept with the admiral and broke his heart.
Sure, we can absolutely make.
I don't
gay.
Know. I don't. It's not even that. It's just the idea that it's like you think it was like all about like this like I don't know gross territorial pissing match, and it's just like no, he just wounded someone like and he behaved like a scoundrel.
Well, I do. What I was gonna say is I like that he is. Despite all this, like his deepest shame, he's a hopeless romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about, like where's the empathy? Because it's very easy for this guy just to be an uptight, like you know, bureaucratic asshole that everybody is just insufferable.
Right. Yeah,
I think because he reads romantic novels on the side, right? I think he is deeply. You could do like he wants love.
Maybe he got into a duel,
mm-hmm.
and then like he had to leave afterwards because he chickened out. of the duel. Do you know what I mean? Like, he got into this duel over a over a girl or a guy, some sort of
yellow. Well, it's fun because it builds up. You want to talk about an easy way to build. They were back to back, and they said, and begin, and he just shot. Instead of walking 10 paces, he just shot. So he shot the guy's, like, calf behind him and then ran away. Like, he was just so terrified that he just shot a guy at the beginning of the duel. It's just embarrassing.
That's really
yeah,
good.
It's this embarrassing act. Yeah, and it was like his heart, his good heart got him into it, right? But then he didn't have the guts to go through on it or something like that.
All heart, no guts is a pretty
fun. Yeah, I like all heart, no guts because what it is like, yeah, when some stupid duel for some lady's heart or guy's heart or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he should have never been in a duel in the first place.
Oh, no.
And he was embarrassed. He was so embarrassed he ran away. And she ended up marrying him. And when he meets her again, she's like, you married him? He's like, you ran away. Like, if you had come after the duel and just been like, that was stupid to the duel, we could have been married. But you ran away like
a coward. Or you could do the thing. You do the thing where he's doing it on her behalf. Where it's like, you have slighted this lady's honor. It's like, no, it's cool. It's like, we must do it. You know, it's like, nobody asked for this. This was all your fault, bro.
I love the idea that, by the way, this guy's always looking for a way to redeem himself with a duel. Like, he's constantly asking for duels. Like, this hangs over him. He's so upset about the last duel.
I feel like we got a good handle on Percival for now. But yes, I like the idea that he wants to do the honorable thing. He fancies himself this gentleman. You know, again, like he yearns to have tea in the officers' club again.
Shamed his admiral with his actions. Yeah. Lost his love.
Seeks redemption. Hates this doofus crew he's with.
Yeah.
But he's always looking for a chance to prove his honor, essentially.
But again, I think where we start him is that we start him with nothing.
You could also start with him like getting court-martialed if you wanted to.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
It was an introductory scene, like him getting his insignias ripped off of him and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's just miserable. I like the idea that you play like he's like completely drunk and he's got nothing. And then when this like smuggler lady or whatever comes, he's just drinking like juice boxes. Like, he's not alcoholic at all. He's just miserable.
Okay. I like the idea also that, like, if you have, like, one of his medals or something that he has, it's like, as like a last resort thing, it's as a way of identifying him to whoever he's talking to, or as he's trying to pawn it off.
Oh, no, that's his threshold moment.
Is that
you would do, he has some last, like, something they can't take away from him, like the purple heart he got for, you know, getting a piece of shrapnel in his
For being honorable once, right?
Yeah, like, he happened to, or just again, it wouldn't even be that honorable. It's just he was on deck.
Right place, right time.
That makes it stronger is that when he gives it up, like he talks about this is my purple heart, it would also be accepting who he is. And when he sells it, he also.
I don't want to say that people who just got shot with a purple heart are like, not purple heart.
So. He got some. No, honestly not. I'm saying for him, I like that he puts on a show.
Yeah.
Right? And I like that when he sells, because selling a medallion is one thing, it's the admittance that when he sells it, like again, to the second character, which we need to figure out right now, it would be not only does he sell it, but he admits as like, I didn't really earn this. And then he sells. It. And that shows a vulnerability, and now there's some sort of relationship between.
I like
two.
Also that he's giving up this last piece of himself.
Yes,
and like this to it, you know, like he's really all in on this.
He's
thing
embracing
now.
This new life.
It's this guy that was again. It's like the brother's medallion in Zorro when he's going to trade it for a drink.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
Here, can I throw something? Do you need someone to convince him to go captain a ship?
I think somebody needs to. He needs to go on the adventure. I'm just thinking that it's not a way to get back in the military. Is my point. But he's going to see it as that. Somebody's going to convince him that this is a chance to rebuild. You're going to be a captain of a ship. Not the best ship, but a good ship. And there'll be adventure and there'll be ways to get there. Somebody needs to want to be a galaxy trucker to be a galaxy trucker. They want the money. They want the fame. They want the success. They want to risk it all. They want to try to. They want to put everything on black and spin the wheel, right? It's like you need somebody that wants wealth and glory.
Could you do someone that – I get the other thing I'm thinking of is somebody who's trying to get out of Dodge. Or you do something, they have a criminal record, and that's why they can't, the corporation incorporated won't hire them. To apply to be a captain of one of these ships, you have to have a clean record, right? That doesn't mean you can't have a crew with criminal records.
Because
then you as the captain are hiring your crew. That's up to you. So it would be like this guy who sees this as his meal ticket, but he needs someone to go, you know, apply for the thing.
Okay, I can see something like this. Somebody's trying to get off Earth, but only trying to get off Earth, they need to bring something to Deneb 3. So they can't just get a ship there. It's in the far out reaches. The only people that go there are truckers. And sure enough, this thing's happening where they are doing free ships. So they go. It's like, perfect.
If it's just that they need to get somewhere, then they could just hire a ship or they could just take a ride on a ship. They wouldn't need to convince someone. Like, there's a bunch of people doing this. Why
if
do
it was
they
something illegal? Like, they're bringing bad stuff to Deneb 3. Like, a whole shitload of
drugs.
Dread cubes. they got their hands on 40 tons of red cubes and they need to bring it to some place.
Real quick, fellas, we are at the 15 minutes remaining mark.
Okay, all right, we got to punch it. Okay.
This is a sitcom structure. Like, I don't buy it. If this was a movie, I could see it one guy. I don't think you're going to do a pilot where it's like, this guy is ruined and then he sees Galaxy Trucker. He's like, cool, this is like my redemption. I think you need to present two characters that are always at ends with, odds with each other. And the whole, you know, 20 seasons of the sitcom, you know, episodic story runs is about this dynamic. And the I totally get this guy who's looking for a way to redeem himself. And ultimately, at the end, he's going to realize that all the adventures and quests and good deeds he did as a Galaxy Trucker was worth more than everything he did in the military or whatever.
Yes. I just, here's where I keep starting. Yeah. I just keep imagining him with some like why, like some slimy, again, like roguish. It just seems fucking boring. Like I'm trying to think of like someone that would be a fun dynamic with the captain. Could you do like a shitty robot? Like shitty robots are funny. Like I'm just trying to get away from the usual cliches that you see with this kind of genre too.
We should be able to find a way for a character to play into the core theme of the game, which is somebody who is desperately trying to get shit together to make money. Otherwise, like, let's just do Master and Commander. It feels weird to be like, we have this, like, pretentious dude who just is going to get a ship and just needs a crew. Like, it feels like there needs to be somebody who wants to be Galaxy Trucker. Like, somebody who...
All right, okay, bear with me. Okay.
I agree.
The convict thing sucks.
Yeah.
Throwing that out.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe a side character thing. This is a landlocked nerd. You would do someone who's never been to space before. You would do someone that they see this as their big meal ticket, but they don't know anything about a spaceship.
We have this guy who doesn't seem like he should go there. That's interesting.
Gambler. What about a gambler? What about someone who's racked up a ton of debt to the mob or what to the space mob? And they need to, A, get out of the gas. It's now I see it. Because it's like, as again, someone's got a whole bunch of money to pay off of Jabba the Hutt, not to do Han Solo. Now you're saying like it's a compulsive risk-taking personality. They have this, you know, like they can't say no to a long shot, right? And you would do that, this thing, they're like, oh my God, thank God. Like, I can just go get a truck and I can, A, get out of here and buy myself time to pay off my debts. And I can pay off my debts and maybe even make more money, right?
Yeah.
But then again, you would do the handshake deal with the captain is that they don't have the ability to rent to hire a ship. They have a spotty criminal background or whatever. They've been to jail. And like we can make it like a fun type of gambling. Like it's someone who like, you know, like racked up a ton of microtransaction money in a fucking Farmville game or something like that. Like a space version of that. Help me out here, guys. We're drowning.
Yeah, I'm trying. So it's a gambler who is desperate for money,
mm-hmm.
is in way too much debt. Or are they somebody that knows how to pilot a ship? Like,
were they
in debt and then they like did a play to like pay off their debt and then they just crashed the ship and they're even in more debt. More debt. So they're just like, we owe hundreds of millions of dollars essentially. And they're about to kill them. This is very Han Solo. Okay,
he's like a neutron star that just pulls all space IPs into his orbit to crush them into his bullshit.
What I was gonna try to do is not to go to Star Wars, but like Aladdin or Ezra from Rebels. We can go Star Wars again, but more like a street rat. Like again, somebody that was from the project because the corporate essentially like was like, well, this is not worth it anymore. We're stopping. I feel like the outer stars were like, yo, we're all dying out here, and they came up with this plan of like. Okay, you know, smugglers, there's demand. That's all these things require some sort of demand. So they're like, we need this food. We were willing to pay high costs. So suddenly it's worth this risk. And Corporation Incorporated is like, okay, we'll let people take essentially our ship parts and we'll start this up again.
In terms of the hierarchy of the ship, this is like your first mate, essentially. Like, this isn't, he's the captain. Percival's the captain.
This person needs a captain. I also like the idea that the captain not really being in charge. Like, again, I'm just trying to get like this like core dynamic that can really sustain tons of episodes. So when you think about like this really qualified captain who is essentially convinced to go on this stupid journey by somebody who desperately needs a captain, you already have this power struggle because one guy's really good at being a captain, the other guy essentially manipulated him into this, mm-hmm. and now you have this dynamic and somebody really desperately, and they also are doing the same thing for essentially different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
One person desperately wants to make the money and the other person is trying to redeem themselves as this great military leader.
Okay.
But they are both inherently good people.
It's just tough because I'm trying to hit like a contrast. Yeah. Like, I like that contrast with Percival, like the disgraced fancy
man. You want the...
Like, so, like, I just don't want to do just, like, this slick, like, fast-talking whatever. So, like, what, like, a nun... I don't know, like a nun with a gambling problem, who the space nun, and now she's going to be, I don't know. But that's just the same thing. It's like, you know, this order meets disorder thing. Like, I was just trying to, like.
Yeah, yeah, no, you don't want to do Han Solo.
Okay, because I'm assuming we're running up on.
We are at 7 minutes remaining.
I want to unpack the Han Solo thing and see if we can subvert it somehow. Because, yes, it seems like that's what you need. But it just, I don't want it to just be like there's the pain in the ass dipshit character and then the cool character. Like, it's boring. Yeah, yeah. Like, what makes sense? Sam Malone, like, again, this is kind of a Sam and Diane thing. Like, Sam Malone's a fun character because he is an idiot. He shoots himself in the foot and stuff like that.
What I was trying to find was somebody that has a personal desire to actually help these people.
It still just feels to me like he's, for whatever reason, he decides this is how he's going to do it. I don't know that the person who convinces him to do it needs to be the person who is on the ship with him, because I think he's running the it's like he's Michael, right? Like, Michael in The Office doesn't have a partner. Michael has, like, his toady, Dwight, and I could totally see how this guy has a fucking toady, like a suck-up first officer who's another disgraced Navy guy, and then he has a crew of scallywags that
Okay, so it's a Don Quixote-esque, like, he's dumbly searching for glory, essentially, and he's, everything's lost, and then the news breaks that, and he's like, my God, I could do this.
Yeah, is it like, is he like, you know, this sort of stuffy dude who's still, like, his ratty uniform he goes and puts on and marches over to the thing, and it's like, I am the former captain, here is my credentials, and this is my first mate, and I need to get, you know, like...
Yes, and the fun juxtaposition, yes, to get rid of a second, the fun juxtaposition would be, like, the video that they... show on TV to be like, join Galaxy Trucker, is going to be like, see the stars, be a hero, and all this stuff. And he's like, my God, like a chance for redemption. And he shows up, and everybody else in line are just miserable human beings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody else is like, cool money. And he's like, this video seemed to be only for him. Like, he's the only one that this sort of like 50s, like Americana esque, like, see the stars works for. And he is diving headlong into this bonkers universe.
Could you do that? Like, he has like his number two is like, he has like a man Friday or like a Jeeves essentially, that like, or again, like a robot butler that becomes his second in command, that like, you know, like is doing this thing with him. And then you to round out your other characters, it would be him. You'd need an engineer, you would need a pilot for the ship, and you would need a gunner, let's say, right?
Sure.
Essentially your first episode would be him recruiting this crew.
Like, so he's got this group of people who are all here for a reason, I guess, different than him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they're all here to make...
Well, okay, in terms of, like, who would he have the most friction with?
Yes.
It wouldn't just be with some wastrel layabout. It would be, like, with a pirate. It would be with someone who, like, in his old life, he would have walked across the street to avoid being seen with. So, like, maybe, and again, if you were going to do that handshake deal of someone who's got the engine, like, you do, it's this lady pirate. They're, like, an old rival of his or something like that. And she got her crew mutinied against her. So she, you know, she got kicked off of her. She's like a Jack Sparrow.
She's a Jack
almost.
Sparrow.
Yeah. She's not a Han Solo type. She's a Jack Sparrow type. But you would do that, again, and that's your kind of, like, again, so she was captain of her own ship too, right? And so that's what, and so she accepts being his first mate, and it drives her nuts that she has to do that. She doesn't want to work for some fucking Navy guy, but she's in the kind of same position that he's in, where, like, and then you can have, like, again, like, your kind of friction between the two of them, right?
Yes.
And it's like, he would never, like, deign to sail under the same flag as a, or truck under the same
banner. Well, the fun would be,
banner.
You would do that after they sign the contract and they get their ship.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he discovers she's actually a pirate. He's like, what? Like, you know, it's like, again, this just charming person. Like, I'll join you. Like, I'm a good pilot and all this stuff. And then it's like after the fact, like during their first quest, it would be during the pilot. Mm-hmm. They would do the thing. And then instead of selling it where they're supposed to go, she sells it to somebody else. It's like, what the hell? She's like, yeah, my bad. I'm a pirate. And he's like, I'm leaving. It's like, you can't. Like, we're both indebted to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I don't know about her tricking him into the agreement. Like, I don't think Fraser can just wake up and his dad lives with him now. I think he's got to invite the alien into the ship, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it wouldn't be like, oh, by the way, I'm a pirate. It's like, again, like, he has hit rock bottom. He has to sell his precious medallion and throw his lot in with an ex-pirate to make something of himself. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like you can't have that.
Yes, the ex-pirate convinced him this is a chance to...
And again, I think you still do the thing where she's like, again, like, a lot of that stuff we came up with, racked up a huge amount of gambling debt. She was a shitty captain with a drinking problem. Like, she had her own shit going on in terms of reason why she got kicked off of, and why she got mutinied against. And now she's down to her last coppers, essentially. If she was going to bullshit him, it would be like, you know, like, I think she could bullshit him at first and he discovers it, but I think, like, that handshake moment has to be genuine, that they're going to work together to get this ship across the galaxy.
She's taking this insufferable guy because she needs somebody, and everybody else, like, she's lost everybody.
And for her, it's like she just wants to get out there again. She loves being in space. It's like the open sea.
I would do that
for adventure.
Him. I would do like he. She's more depth. Like he,
oh yeah, yeah. For
he
him,
would do
this
because it's like he just
the romantic side.
He's
of
the
it,
only
yeah.
way he can get a ship.
Yeah,
like he can't pilot anything. Nobody's letting him pilot even a cargo ship because he was a disgraced military guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the only chance he has. She's the only person who's willing to hire him on as a captain.
Yeah,
and that's better than nothing because this is what I was born. This is my blood. My blood is that of a captain. Like I will run even if it's a meager crew. I will run this crew. And she's like, I freaking have a lot of debt. I need money.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, then the challenge is that he's going to constantly be a thorn in her side because he is a very good captain. He is also very moral and doesn't want to do things unscrupulously. So, like, he would always be wary. Like, yes, he joined on knowing what was going to happen, but that's obviously going to be conflict as the journeys go. He's going to teach her some morality and whatnot. She's going to teach him just to let his hair loose.
Okay, I feel like that's the core dynamic. And then, the next thing you would obviously do would be to fill out the crew and stuff like that. But in terms
of wacky green alien characters.
Yeah, your various wacky green aliens. But that's, again, your core dynamic in terms of how they would argue with each other, right?
Yes. If you want to do something that she's not honest about for the pilot, it'd be she's upfront about all this stuff. What she's not upfront about is that when she mutinied, it wasn't just mutiny. It's like she has death threats. Like, there are people that are coming to kill us.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit.
You know, it would be better if she tried to stage a mutiny.
Oh, yes. Well, here's what's great. Sorry.
Oh, that's fun.
And then, he finds out that she's not only a pirate, she's a mutineer, which is the worst possible thing a person can do. Because it's a person that goes against their captain.
Well, no, I was going to say, here's why you need to do the lie, is just the ending. There's the handshake, and then there's the end handshake, right? There's like I'm going to take care of my dad, too. Like, yes, I'm going to have a relationship with my father from now on. The end handshake is like she thinks he's insufferable. She doesn't tell him that there are literally that the old crew, that this whole pirate army, like she betrayed Barbossa.
The pirate
culture is after her. She'd be like, you're right. They're all after me. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave now. And then he'd be like, no, you're my crew. I'm your captain. Like, right? It's like he has this oath. It's like it doesn't matter.
Captain stands by his crew.
No matter what. No matter how despicable they can be. No matter how. He just goes into
we shall seek our. You shall have your fortune and I shall have my honor.
Yes. Yeah, and she's like, and then she's, again, she's like, man, he's got good integrity.
Like,
he's charming. And she's saying, So, like, he ends up being a good captain at the end.
Okay.
And he's going to take this journey with her.
Okay. Yeah. So, if you're to look at it in terms of the overall day, what's her name? Bonnie. I like Bonnie. Let's go with Bonnie. Bonnie and Percival, right? Okay, so Percival is a fussy member of the Royal Space Navy who's been drummed out for cowardice.
Yeah.
He's looking to regain his honor. Bonnie is a ex-pirate who's run afoul of the biggest pirate clan in space because she tried to stage a mutiny on her ship and she, you know, was supposed to be dead, but she escaped and they found out she's alive.
Yep.
The two of them team up to become galaxy trucking duo. They put their crew together. The idea being she is going to seek her fortune. He's going to seek his redemption.
We have an engineer who's an ex-trucker. We have a robot butler who was thrown out because he wasn't good enough and he desperately needs a master, so he hires them. We have a pilot gunner who is
a robot. It's a robot butler who picked up a robot virus from a robot prostitute.
But he doesn't exist. He needs a master.
Yeah, so you do. Yeah, you've got a goofy robot manservant. You have a
engineer ex trucker,
a rough and tumble ex trucker,
and the pilot gunner is
an alcoholic.
Alcoholic 16-year-old.
Yes,
alcoholic 16-year-old.
He's like a 16-year-old, like a shitty, millennial. he's really good. He's a gamer. That's what you would do. The pilot is
just really good in The Sims.
The pilot is a pro gamer.
And real quick, by the way,
who's
we
never
are past,
taken a human life before.
We are past the hour mark.
Okay. At any rate, to wrap it up, that's essentially the show. I think in terms of a season arc, I could see something where basically you have, by contrivance, they wind up sparking this massive conflagration between the Navy and this pirate armada. you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it would be like this war that they wind up in the middle of.
They would both get what they want. Like, he literally is their little trucker ship, whether it's the end of the season or the whole show, their little trucker ship is the head of a fleet in a war that is going to also solve a problem with a pirate. So he literally
This war is sparked, and it's like, are we going to deliver our cargo and make a shitload of money, or are we going to do the right thing? And then he's going to get his, you know, post back. Because again, I like those two goals that are always pulling at each other. And then you can see different ways that they sacrifice for each other and don't sacrifice for each other. Other episode ideas. I love the idea of the two of them get blasted off into the little cargo pod together.
It's them, absolutely. And now
that it's just the two of them, it's a real thing about who's going to be the captain of this little escape pod. Like, it's just them fighting and being stranded while the rest of the crew is trying to
can't run it. And
The butler's the next in command. So then the robot butler becomes the captain of the other ship and goes mad with power or something like that.
But yeah, so it'd be a lot of fun off the wall little sci-fi adventures as these two
are delivering red cubes and green cubes.
And they essentially never actually deliver them, and they're always poor.
I love the idea of them rescuing a Navy ship, and then they're invited to dine with the captain.
My Fair Lady.
And he's got to scrub his crew up. I think that's hysterical.
And then you do essentially the opposite, where they have to go into some captured by pirates, and he's got to pretend to be a pirate. He's got to do
That's a fun little show.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Galaxy Truckers.
Space Frasier.
Galaxy Truckers, a.k.a. Space Frasier. Not bad.
I feel the space blues a-calling, gentlemen.
Oh my god, that's so bad. Oh man. That was Galaxy Truckers. I wanted to just highlight a couple of new iTunes reviews that we got. Again, thank you everybody who's taking the time to
get some dope. You're gonna talk about the Waldo art too,
definitely. But thank you everybody for taking the time to do art, to tweet at us, to do an iTunes review. Much appreciated. One review actually put in a Waldo adjustment. This is from Hervin Cuffpier. One adjustment for the ending of Where's Waldo? Still gave us 5 stars, but I love pretty much everything about the idea for Waldo, but I wasn't quite satisfied with the ending. What if after she has been made fun of, she decides to abandon the magic for the rest of her mediocre high school career until at graduation, she's giving a speech about never abandoning who you really are. She looks at the audience and sees Waldo, and then a small tear rolls down her cheek as she's reminded of the magic. That would make for, by the way, a very awkward high school graduation speech of just someone weeping as Waldo disappears. But anyway, thank you, Hervin. Steph's Songs, Penbrook, Appleseed, Crystal Moon, Hammock in a Tree, all thank you for your iTunes reviews. I want to talk about some of the art, by the way.
We got some really good posters from Waldo, which was...
We got one from Sam Grochowski, and that's at Grochowski1337, which did Waldo with, of course, by the way, the Wraith, the Laurel from Will Campo, saying, I'd watch the shit out of this movie, but you have Waldo in shadow over the world, and it's, where is he? Who is he?
There's also from the studios that brought you VJHS, I get that, and then I guess the second best thing we've done is Fushigi Master. So, and then of course this was the toy line was produced by Logan Olsen.
I like that it is Jacques Tati as Waldo in the movie there you too. Go. Yeah,
they made the call. I hope if the Waldo episode made some people watch Playtime, I'd be. We've done it. Like, and as then, far as I'm concerned. Master of Hobbits.
Yeah, definitely has a career in PR because Find Your Waldo is like, his tagline was Find Your Waldo, which is very, very good.
This one's great. It's the girl, and then like you got the camera phone, and then like
selfieing.
The selfieing, and then the Waldo hat and shirt appearing on her in the picture. It's great. Definitely go check out the.
We'll be putting them up.
RJ Story Break will be retweeting those. We also got another Sonic one from Wesley Regan, who's just saying that, you know, you guys should revisit the Sonic movie one day. And his
which we are thinking. Line, we are
we're
thinking
definitely
going
to come back. His tagline was Sonic, he's too fast for story break. Yeah.
Sonic's going to be our white whale. Sonic's going to be our white whale. We're going to try. Our blue hedgehog, indeed. So anyway, if you have art, if you want to tweet at us some ideas. We've been getting some pretty good submissions that we're thinking about sort of slotting in here. One, like, I think Flow from Progressive is a really fun idea.
We've been talking about Flow from Progressive is maybe doing that one. Any suggestions?
Any suggestions you have for Story Break? Any art that you're doing? And as always, if you leave an iTunes review, it's very much appreciated. Very, very helpful for us. Until then, you can check us out at RJ Story Break on Twitter and rocketjump.com, where we do post up the very, very good art that we get alongside these episodes. So check in on that. So, until next week, Good, I need a good sign off.
Yeah,
until next week.
We haven't figured out a sign off yet. We
keep on storying, everybody.
Fade out.
No!
Fade out.
That's what you write at the end of a screenplay.
I know, but it feels
fade
like this.
Out.
I like that this is happening as slowly our voices recede into the background.
If you have any ideas for what a better catchphrase for the end of the podcast, please tweet at us.